What a finish to that football game right there. Usually, these Thursday night games leave a lot to be desired, but this, the final Thursday night football game of the season, simply outstanding. These teams both playing for something significant. There are playoff implications for both of these teams and for the New England Patriots. We'll get into all of those playoff implications and what the final score of tonight's game actually means to your Patriots, because there are many little factors that we can get into here about how this is good news for the Patriots. I mean, you can look at it as good news, quite frankly, just on the fact that the Chiefs can be beat at home. I mean, that proves something to me, that all of the people that called up this radio station following what happened in Miami last weekend, saying that, oh, now it looks like the Patriots will have to go on the road, have to go to KC, they're unbeatable there, the Patriots will have no chance. Well, you know, there's your evidence tonight. They can be beat at home, there's that. And then there's the fact that even if the Patriots aren't able to come all the way back and grab that number one seed, there is no way. There is no way that you can convince me that the Patriots will have as difficult of a time on the road in LA against the Chargers as they would going on the road to Kansas City. I mean, that just doesn't exist, right? So now the Patriots, the window opens up a little bit here. You get yourself a little bit of a kick in the ass if you're a Patriots fan, and you also reopen the wound from last weekend, because there's one fluke play against a team that is going nowhere, separating the Patriots from having the number one seed, the bye, and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. We'll talk about all that and a hell of a lot more tonight here on Late Night. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. As always, there is plenty of room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. So we got 2 hours tonight. We'll get to quite a few things throughout the course of the program. We'll put it all on the table up front here and sort of see what sticks, because I do want to get to this playoff implications here for the Patriots. What we just saw there, what it means to the Patriots, did this sort of breathe a bit of new life into the New England Patriots? I mean, you're still right there, still knocking on the door. You don't quite control your own destiny when it comes to that number one seed, but the number one seed is still something that is certainly in play at this point here. With three games remaining, the Patriots are right there, and if they are able to win out, you know, you're going to give yourself a shot. And winning out for the Patriots is necessary anyways. I think we talked about that quite a bit this week here on Late Night, but in my opinion, the Patriots, they do control their own destiny when it comes to at least locking up that number two seed, at least locking up that first round bye. And now with the possibility that after that first round bye, a road game exists going on the road against the Chargers, I mean, that is not that is not the most difficult place to go play. I'm not going to say it's easy, but when you look at Tom Brady on the road against the Chargers throughout the course of his career, regular season, he's 2-1, and in the playoffs, he is 2-0. So we're talking about a guy in Tom Brady that has played the Chargers on the road 5 times in his career, playoffs and regular season, and he's 4-1. So if you're a Patriots fan, if you're Tom Brady, that's got to give you some level of confidence. It's got to give you a little shot in the arm, realizing that that is something that wouldn't be too outlandish for the Patriots, despite the fact that they have struggled on the road, to go to a place and face a team that they have had a good amount of success against on their home field. So that means a lot for this Patriots team, as opposed to having to go to KC. We know what sort of home field advantage Arrowhead can be, and we know that it's been a very difficult place for the Patriots to play. We know that Tom Brady has struggled there. Tom Brady 1-2 lifetime on the road in Kansas City. So you've got a choice, 1-2 versus 4-1. You go with 4-1 if you must go on the road at all. So, Patriots fans, I would like to hear from you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. If you watched that game and you watched how that game ended, were you like me? I mean, I suddenly became a Chargers fan towards the end of that game. Look, I was pretty indifferent going into this game. I wanted to see a good football game because I had put the possibility of the Patriots really reaching that number one seed out of my head. I was trying not to think about it, just reaching for that number two seed. That was the goal now. You know, you maximize your position where you control your own destiny. Grab that number two seed, and to hell with the people that think that this Patriots team can't win on the road. So that was my thought going in. But now, watching the way that game ended, I mean, it's twofold. you have the Chargers proving that the Chiefs, they can be beaten at Arrowhead. So that's going to give you some confidence if ultimately the Patriots do wind up going on the road. So you've got that aspect of the conversation. Plus, now there's a likelihood, now there's an increased likelihood at least, that if the Patriots do in fact go on the road, you find yourself in Los Angeles against the Chargers, where whether it's San Diego or L.A., you know, Tom Brady has had a good level of success on the road against that Chargers team, both regular season and playoffs combined, 4-1 in his career. So the outlook for the Patriots and their potential playoff run here just got a little bit brighter. And in a season where, you know, this thing could really come down to the Patriots and how they screwed up the end of that Miami game, I mean, really, that's what it might come down to for this team. That's what home field might come down to. In a season where it comes down to that fluky BS type of play that ultimately could cost this team the number one seed and home field advantage throughout the playoffs, if you got to go on the road, there is an easier path to going on the road and finding yourself back in the Super Bowl. And that easier path certainly goes through Los Angeles. The more difficult path goes through Kansas City. And as of right now, I mean, it's a 50-50 shot. You don't know where you're going if you find yourself in that position. But Patriots fans, that number one seed is still something that you can consider. It is still something that's not too far out of reach because of the outcome of tonight's game. And if you don't get that number one seed, there is a much higher likelihood of success if the Patriots have got to go on the road and play the Chargers. So as a Patriots fan, I feel a little bit more optimistic following the conclusion of tonight's Thursday night football game. We'll talk about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. I also wanted to get into sort of the specifics of this game this weekend for the Patriots against the Steelers. We know the Steelers are reeling a little bit here. They've lost three consecutive games. It appears that Mike Tomlin might be on the hot seat here. Whether he is or whether he isn't, you know, that's something for the Kansas City fans, the Steelers fans to consider, the Steelers fans to debate. Stephen A. Smith can get involved in that debate and do his thing, call it racism, do whatever he wants. I don't care. I don't want any part of that debate because Mike Tomlin, to me, is a pretty good coach in a league full of pretty good coaches, right? And it's more evidence of just how spoiled we've been here with Bill Belichick. We sit here and we like to pick apart every move that Belichick makes. And there were people literally calling for Belichick's job following the conclusion of last Sunday's game against the Dolphins. I mean, look, that loss hurt, and I get the overreaction. But then when you watch these other coaches around the league and you realize just how lucky we are to have Bill Belichick here as the head coach. And were there some uncharacteristic mistakes made from both Belichick and Tom Brady, mental mistakes in that game? Of course there were. Were they frustrating to watch? Hell yes. But does that mean that you want to replace Belichick with somebody else? Hell no. But we know that that Steelers team has been reeling a little bit. But to me, that means that they're a dangerous team because they're fighting not only for their playoff lives, they're fighting for their coach as well, right? So that makes them a dangerous team. But the question that I've got for you guys tonight when it comes to this game, you're playing a desperate team. Desperate teams are dangerous. You're playing a desperate team on the road with playoff implications where their coach's job could be on the line. So those players are going to be fighting and fighting hard. If the Patriots were to go in and lose, if they were to go in this weekend and lose against the Steelers, is that sort of the beginning of the end of this dynasty here? And I say that because when you look at where their record will fall to, it'll be 9-5 at that point. They'll be fighting for, I mean, they'll still be most likely, you know, heading to the playoffs, but their seeding is certainly going to drop possibly to a wild card type team. And when you look at this team and you look at their future and you consider the fact that going into next year, Tom Brady will be going into his 42nd year on the planet. Bill Belichick will be pushing 67 years old next year. And who knows what's going to happen with a guy like Rob Gronkowski, who threatened to retire last offseason, who was potentially a trade asset for the Patriots. They were dangling him out there last year. Supposedly there was a trade in the works with the Lions. I mean, all these factor in to my sort of way of thinking here, that this Patriots dynasty could either hang on for a couple more years or it could start to crumble and crumble very quickly here. And the crumbling could really begin if they're unable to do the one thing that we know that they've been capable of doing over the last 15, 16, 17 years, and that's going on the road, heading into Pittsburgh, and shutting up the Steelers. That's one of the defining characteristics of this team. It's been one of the defining characteristics of the Bill Belichick era. And I'm very, very anxious and curious to see if this Patriots team still has that thing that other Patriots teams from years past have had, that ability to rise up in a game like this, because make no mistake about it, this is now the largest game of the season for the Patriots. And it's a road game for a team that has struggled on the road. And it's a road team against a team in the Steelers that we know that they are still very talented, despite the fact that they have been reeling here, losing three consecutive games. But I look at this Steelers team and I see a team that's going to play desperate. They're going to be dangerous. And this is sort of one of those games where if you got a set of balls, you've got to bring them to the game. There's no pussyfooting around this type of game. You can't go into this game and try and win it playing finesse football. You can't go into this type of game and try and win it by simply outscoring your competition. The Patriots are going to have to bring their big boy pants into this game this weekend. And we haven't seen them bring those big boy pants on the road all that much this season. So I'll be super curious to see exactly which version of the Patriots shows up this weekend on the road in Pittsburgh, especially following what we just saw here on Thursday Night Football, that combined with what we saw at the end of last week's Patriots game. I know that they've all said the right things. You know, give credit to the players, give credit to the coaches. They have all said the right things about what happened at the tail end of that Dolphins game last weekend. You know, you've got to move on. It's a football game. Things happen. I believe Belichick said here on EEI that, you know, nobody was dying. It's not a war. It's just football. I get that. But how does something like that not hang over your head psychologically, especially knowing now what we know now? And that's that if the Patriots had held on to that lead, they would be right now the number one seed in the AFC. And they would have the ability to control their own destiny, earn that first round bye, and earn themselves home field advantage throughout the playoffs. And we know how much easier that makes the road to the Super Bowl. So are they kicking themselves in their own asses right now following what we just heard, what we just saw on Thursday Night Football? So we'll talk about that with you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. The other thing I want to get to tonight is what's happening here at the station regarding the Red Sox and the Red Sox broadcast. And what I'm doing here is sort of an unofficial census, I guess is the word I'm looking for from you guys. What I want to find out is this. You've got two conflicting reports about what's happening with the Red Sox broadcast. So if you haven't heard, I'll tell you now. I mean, Tim Nevert, it came out yesterday that his contract has not been renewed. He's going elsewhere. He will not be back in the booth for the Red Sox broadcast here on EEI next year. So then Chad Finn of the Globe, he comes out and he says that WEEI is going to move to a more of a talk show style format for these Red Sox broadcasts, right? Meaning it's going to be more conversational. You might not hear every single pitch. You might not hear of every single foul ball. You'll still hear the play-by-play for all the critical plays in a game. But in the meantime, you'll hear two, three guys sort of having a sports conversation about the game at hand or about the bigger picture surrounding the Red Sox, whether it's a bigger picture about a series that they're playing in, about an away stadium that they might be in, playoff implications, the performance of a pitcher, injuries, things like that. So they want to program it almost the same way that we program out our talk shows here, right? So that's what Chad Finn reported. And then tonight on WEEI.com, you've got our media guy, our media sort of columnist, Alex Reamer. He spoke with all the right people, including Joey Zerbano, our program director. And Reamer comes out and he says, nope, you know what? I talked to Zerbano. There's quotes in there from Zerbano. And essentially, we're hiring for a traditional play-by-play voice. And if you go ahead to the website, WEEI.com, and you read the want ad that we've got out there for this play-by-play voice, It reads like a typical play-by-play job. And Zerbano says to Reamer that, no, we're not going to change the format. It's going to be a traditional baseball radio broadcast format. And I wonder from you guys, as baseball fans, and I know the baseball fans that listen to the games on the radio, you guys choose to do that. When I do Red Sox Review, we've had this conversation before, and I love it because I'm a radio junkie. I absolutely love listening to radio broadcasts of sports. I love it. Whether it's the Red Sox here, I will often listen to the other station to listen to Celtics broadcast because, quite frankly, I think that Sean Grandy is as good as they get describing the action on a basketball court. And to me, I love the visualization of what's happening, right? So to me, I'm more of a traditionalist when it comes to listening to these broadcasts. And I feel like what the Celtics do well is they can get a little bit goofy. I mean, Cedric Maxwell can be silly. He can be stupid silly, and I like that. And he and Sean Grandy have got a great chemistry. And do you miss a play here or there because they're telling a great story? Sure. So if the Red Sox are going to move to something like that, I'm all for it. But what I don't want is another 3 or 4 hours of, you know, Mutton Maloney or OMF with the Red Sox game on in the background. If that's the road they want to go down, I want no part of it. It's not what people are tuning into Red Sox games for. People are tuning into Red Sox games, in my opinion, because they want to hear the broadcast of the game. So I do want to talk to you guys tonight. You know, in addition to the Patriots stuff, I'm curious, as Red Sox fans, especially people that listen to the radio broadcast, are you in on this sort of conversational radio talk show style Red Sox broadcast that is being rumored about by Chad Finn on Twitter, on the Boston Globe, on Boston.com? I mean, that's what he's reporting. And I don't like it at all. I don't think it's going to work. I think that it's a little bit too goofy, especially for a fan base like this. But if you guys like it, ultimately, all that matters is whether you guys like it or don't like it, right? Because if you don't listen, we're not going to get the advertising dollars. And if we don't get the advertising dollars, we got a big problem here, right? So it all comes down to ratings. It all comes down to people listening or choosing not to listen. So people have been listening to the Red Sox broadcast. Our ratings were up last year with Tim Nevert and Joe Castiglione on the call. So to me, I don't understand why we're doing this. Is it because Kirk didn't like the lisp that Tim Nevert had? I mean, does it really come down to that? Because if it does, then for me, I think that's a garbage decision. Tim Nevert's a good guy, and he's good at what he does. But if you're going to replace him, that's fine. Replace him with an upgrade. Replace him with somebody that's capable of getting into that booth and giving me something new. You know, replace him with somebody that's capable of telling me a good story, painting me a good picture, but don't get yourself involved in another WEEI-type talk show. I don't want that. We've got 20 hours of programming here a day. If I want to hear a talk show and we don't happen to have a live one going on at that particular moment, guess what? On the radio.com app, we do a great job. All of our shows are available for download. Plus, I mean, not for nothing, I host a podcast and everybody else here hosts a podcast. There's always a show available. There's always fresh content available. So for me anyways, I'm a no for this. And I want to mark down each and every one of you guys that sort of calls in tonight. Tell me, do you want the broadcast to be traditional, or do you want the broadcast to sort of devolve or evolve, depending on how you look at it, into more of a traditional talk show? Are you looking for another 3 hours of OMF? Are you looking for another 3 hours of Mutton Maloney? Because I don't want any part of that. You know, I get enough Mutton Maloney. I get enough OMF. We've got two major talk stations here in this city, major sports station here in the city. And when I'm not here doing my job, if I'm looking for good quality sports talk radio, I'm lucky. I live in the city of Boston. There are many, many choices 24 hours a day. I don't need my local Red Sox broadcast to devolve into what I do here at night. It's just goofy. And I don't want to listen to it. I want to listen to the Red Sox. I want to find out what's going on and what's happening with the team that I'm making a choice to listen to. So curious to hear what you guys have to say about that tonight at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy, talking about the Patriots playoff implications from tonight's Thursday night football game. This sort of opens the door for a potential easier path to the Super Bowl, not necessarily opening the door to home field advantage, but a potential easier path through Los Angeles. If you watch the game tonight, what do you guys think about this? And are you like me? Do you feel just a little bit more optimistic about the Patriots' chances after what you guys saw tonight on Thursday Night Football? And also talking about the Red Sox, the new Red Sox broadcast for next year. Do you want it to stay traditional, or are you open to the concept of turning it into more of a talk show style radio broadcast of the Red Sox game? We'll talk about all that and more with you guys at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio WEI. It is late night. My name is Patrick Gilroy. Room for you guys tonight at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. Find me on Twitter at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And I don't always read the text, but there is a texter up there that says, A, that he loves listening to my show at night. So that'll generally get your text read, and I'll give you an answer if it's a question that you've got. So this particular guy, he works in the car at night, loves listening to this show, but then when we go off the air and we go to NBC Sports Talk Radio, he is looking to figure out how to listen to sort of the podcast versions of our other daily shows. So it's very easy. You just go to the radio.com app, find WEI, tap on that, and then underneath you'll see a full listing of all of our shows. So you tap on the particular show that you want to listen to, and you'll have the choice to listen to that day's shows and all the way back for months of any particular show, as well as there's a tab for all the podcasts that we do here. So a little pub for my podcast, Josue Pavone from WEI.com and myself, once a week come in here, we record what's called the Banner 18 podcast. As you can probably imagine, it's all about the Celtics. Josue is going to be in here with me tomorrow night following the conclusion of another thrilling edition of Late Night. We're going to record the latest edition of the Banner 18 podcast. So once we go off the air tonight, if you want to listen to more Gilroy, you can find the Banner 18 podcast right there on the radio.com app as well. Until then, we're going to take your phone calls here. Two distinctly different topics, but with only a two-hour show tonight, we put it all out there on the table to start the program, talking about the Patriots, playoff implications from what we saw tonight, playoff implications from what we saw last weekend. And as a Patriots fan, is there a bit more optimism? And I understand that the Chargers no longer play in San Diego, but all you can do is go on the numbers that we have here, right? And the numbers that I have here tell me that Tom Brady's 2-0 in the playoffs on the road against the Chargers, 4-1 overall on the road against the Chargers, where he hasn't had that kind of success on the road in Arrowhead. So for me, if there's now this likelihood, or at least a higher likelihood, that Tom Brady could go on the road against a team where he's had a lot of success, then that's a better scenario, a better situation than being forced to go on the road and go to Arrowhead. That's all I'm saying. But it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Out to the phones we will go. Let's go to Chad. Chad's in East Lyme. Chad, you're first up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Good, Chad. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, so I called in to talk about the Patriots, but first, Red Sox broadcast. I'm all for the old school broadcast. I do not like the idea of going to a talk show format. There's been times where I'm watching the game on TV and I mute the TV and listen to the radio if it's being carried by Fox or one of the national networks, because I appreciate the local guys better.
There's one for traditional, and I like all the reasons that you just gave me. I do the same thing. Look, there are some things I'm all for, an entertaining sports talk show. I really am. I was a big fan of Kirk. I know a lot of people aren't, and a lot of people are. He's a very divisive character here, but I like that. But I like that in the morning. I like that sort of to start my day. When I make the decision to listen to a radio broadcast of a live sporting event, I want it to be a broadcast of that damn sporting event. I don't want to hear these people's opinions on something else.
Absolutely. And then as far as the Patriots are concerned, the reason I called is I'm hoping you can enlighten me, because I actually had the exact opposite reaction of you based on the outcome of tonight's game. I think it made our scenarios more difficult in the event that Kansas City and Los Angeles were to both win out. They're going to be the 1-2 seed. We're going to be the 3 seed, and we could potentially have to travel to both locations if we want to make it to the Super Bowl. I was hoping Kansas City would win, lock in our number 2 seed, and we only have to worry about going there if they weren't knocked out in an earlier round.
Yeah, but in this scenario, the two top teams in the same division, it can't be number 1 and number 2 overall in the AFC. So the Patriots are in a pretty good spot right here.
All right, see? Did not understand that, so you have enlightened me.
That's what I'm here for, I guess. You know. But look, I watched this game, and I just thought to myself, on one hand, this proved that, you know, a team like the Chargers, and I like to think that the Patriots are a similar type team to the Chargers. They're damn good, but they're imperfect. They were able to go on the road and do what most people thought couldn't be done, and that's beat Mahomes and beat him in Arrowhead. It's a very difficult thing to do. So that, A, gave me some hope that if the Patriots have got to go to Arrowhead, then it's certainly something that's doable coming out of there with a win. And B, I think that the Patriots' likelihood, if they've got to go to L.A., I mean, we know Tom Brady's record against the San Diego Chargers has been pretty dominant on the road at 4-1. You can only hope that that 4-1 sort of carries over to the new stadium, the soccer stadium that they're playing in Los Angeles now.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely that traveling to L.A. will be more ideal than traveling to Kansas City.
Absolutely. I appreciate the phone call, Chad. Don't be a stranger to the program. The number to join me here is 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Matt. Matt's in the Bay Area. Matt, you're next up here on WEEI.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. I'm out on the West Coast, and, you know, I definitely enjoy listening to you at nighttime on my drive home, so thank you. Just talking about, you know, the broadcast, and, you know, I found myself since I moved out to the West Coast with the MLB, you know, at Bat app, kind of listening to the games a little bit more just due to, you know, the time difference. And I think Joe is my Vin Scully. You know, I mean, he is like when he fell off the chair and then making that call on the CS, the Bregman, I mean, I will tune in just to listen to Joe. So whatever they decide to do, I think that just should be, you know, based around Joe. I think Lou Maloney is a local guy. I was actually born in Framingham, so I'm a little biased. I think he knows his baseball, and I think he has a lot to offer. But I do, you know, foresee them kind of rotating guys in, whether it's, you know, like they do with Nesson, whether it's, you know, Johnny Gomes, or when they go to Houston, they'll bring in Clemens, you know. But I think Joe is the sale there. And I'll listen to him until the day he leaves the radio because he has that iconic voice.
No, he does. Joe's great at what he does, and he's not going anywhere. That was confirmed today. But I will say this, WEEI.com did talk to Lou Maloney today, and they asked him point blank, you know, if the job were offered to you, would you take it? And I think Lou enjoys doing, you know, a dozen games a year, doing the playoff games, but he did make it pretty clear that he's got a young family. He's not interested in getting back into that sort of grind that you have as a player, you know, broadcasting all these games, traveling with the team. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to be home with his young kids as much as he possibly can. So Lou's great at what he does, and I think that he is the ideal guy because he'll give you that traditional baseball play-by-play, but he can also bring a little bit of what he does on OMF into the booth with him.
Definitely, definitely. And, well, you know, like I said, whoever they decide to, just to get a, you know, just to get an analyst, I think that, you know, Joe's the guy. And if you wouldn't mind, you know, I'd love to just bounce a couple Sox thoughts off you really quickly.
Yeah.
If you have some time
yeah.
for me.
Yeah.
You know, I hear a lot of, like, you know, about, you know, Dombrowski doesn't do great with the farm systems, but I think one thing that Red Sox Nation's forgetting about is our farm system has just won the World Series, essentially. I mean, they're pretty much, you know, the Killer Bees are all under 30. I mean, Devers is 21 years old. I mean, we're still a young team. And, of course, we're going to face some adversity with our contract situations. But, I mean, you know, Betts isn't up for another 2 years. I mean, Benny's not up for a while. Benny's only going to get better. He's going to be a 320 hitter eventually, you know. And I just think that, you know, we kind of need to pump the brakes as far as, like, kind of, I feel like we're in panic mode. Like, we just want to ring. Our system's up, you know. And the other thing that would attribute to that point is that, you know, what do you think about Devers? You know, he's a big kid, you know, eventually kind of making that transition to first base and kind of that DH role. I mean, I don't think he's a bad third baseman. I think he's just a mental third baseman, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, and what do you think about the kids, Chevis, that we have and I believe Dahlbeck's the other third baseman, and if you know anything about them, I know that Chevis kind of had like the PED suspension, so you know he kind of has that dark cloud over him. But I mean, there's still it's not like we need a loaded farm system. We have guys. You know what I mean? We need a few pieces.
We do have guys right now, but the farm system is pretty much stripped bare of those type of guys, those stud AA players, the stud AAA guys that other teams are hungry for and eager for. That you can easily pick off a valuable player, you know, in exchange for one of those guys. That's what this team is missing right now. And Dombrowski's done a damn good job. I mean, he just won a World Series. I'm not going to get all over Dombrowski. He came here and he did exactly what he said he was going to do. He cashed in the chips that they had here in the farm system, brought in the right guys in exchange, and he built a World Series winner. So props go to him. But here's the problem. With that, it's a short-term solution. This is a short-term window that this team has, and people don't want to acknowledge that. But really, you know, on one hand, you said that you feel like people are in a panic a little bit. And on the other hand, you know, you told me that these guys like Mookie and Benintendi, they've got, what, 2 years left? So it's not going to take all that long for these guys to be coming up and for that contract talk to heat up, right? And they're going to be north of $200 million type players. So you got to choose and choose wisely here who gets the money. The other part of that is when you talk about a guy like Devers transitioning over to first base, you know, DH first base role, is that working with the assumption that JD Martinez opts out of his contract at the end of next year and this team doesn't bring him back? Because JD was outstanding this year. And he's the type of guy that, for somebody who's going to hit 40 home runs and drive in 110 RBI, pretty much like clockwork, and that's what JD Martinez is going to do as long as he's hitting at Fenway Park, you look at him, and it's not a coincidence that when the Red Sox brought him in here, look what happened to Mookie Betts. Mookie Betts had a down year last year, well, the year before last now, the first year without David Ortiz to protect him in that lineup. You know, David Ortiz goes away, and all of a sudden Mookie Betts' game declines. And then last year, you bring in a legitimate power guy, you know, once again, and what happens to Mookie? Mookie thrives and has an MVP-type season. So I feel like if this team does find themselves in a situation at the end of next season where JD Martinez opts out of his deal, if they can't give him the type of money that he's going to command in free agency, and they can't replace him with another legitimate 40 home run, 110 RBI guy, there's going to be a problem there because there is a domino effect in this lineup. There's a reason why this lineup returned to form this year. You know, we saw the lineup take a real dip in the post, I guess you'll call it the post Big Poppy era, right? And then as soon as you bring in a legitimate guy to fill that role, all of a sudden, a guy like Mookie Betts, he starts to shine again, and he elevates his game to that next level once again. And I'm afraid that if you remove a guy like JD Martinez from the equation, then what happens? Maybe Mookie takes that step back again that we saw him take in the first year without David Ortiz in that lineup to protect him. It is Sports Radio, WEI. It is Late Night. My name is Patrick Gilroy, talking about a couple of distinctly different things here tonight on the program, as it is an abbreviated program. So rather than do 1 hour on one thing, 1 hour on the other, will be non-traditional as well. The Red Sox want to go to a non-traditional broadcast. We will do a non-traditional late-night show here, talking about the Patriots specifically, talking about the playoff implications of what we saw here tonight, what we heard here tonight on WEEI Thursday Night Football. Just an incredible, incredible finish for the Chargers, going into Arrowhead and winning on a two-point conversion with 4 seconds left. Just a great, great game, and just a great, great play. But now, standings-wise, that has a big impact on the Patriots on multiple fronts. We're talking about those multiple fronts and what it means for the Patriots and playoff implications. That number one seed is still something that is somewhat in the conversation. It is still somewhat within reach because of the outcome of tonight's game. Not to mention, there is now this scenario in play where maybe the Patriots, if they must go on the road, maybe they don't have to go to Arrowhead. Maybe they go to L.A. Maybe they play the Chargers in Los Angeles. And when the Chargers were in San Diego, the Patriots had their way in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. Tom Brady 4-1 overall on the road in San Diego against the Chargers. We'll see if that translates maybe on the road against the Los Angeles Chargers. Talking about that. And we're talking about the Red Sox and the news that came out today, conflicting reports coming out in the last 24 hours about what we're doing here on WEEI. You know, we are home to the Boston Red Sox radio broadcast, and we have been for quite some time. And I feel like we do a damn good job. I really, really do. The whole production is top-notch, and Joe Castiglione is as good as they get. But even our guys that do the studio hosting, whether it's Ken Laird or Mutt, these guys do an outstanding job. That's a difficult job to do that requires finesse and timing and teamwork, and they do a great job making these radio broadcasts go off sort of seamlessly, without a hitch. It's amazing how well they're able to do it. And I like that traditional radio broadcast, but Chad Finn, Boston.com, Boston Globe, on Twitter today coming out saying that now that the Red Sox and WEEI have decided to part ways with Tim Neverett, there's talk about introducing a non-traditional radio broadcast into the fold next year, where it's more of a talk show format with radio, with the baseball game sort of in the background, where you'll still get the play-by-play, but it won't be the sole focus of the broadcast. And I just want no part of it. I want no part of anything that sounds like Mutt and Marloni or OMF or Felger and Maz in getting in the way of my baseball broadcast. Conflicting report on WEI.com tonight from Alex Reamer with quotes from our program director, Joe Zerbano, saying, you know what? That's not the case. Chad Finn's got it wrong. Look at the want ad that we've got out there right now. We're looking for a traditional play-by-play voice. I hope that that is the case. I hope that we want to stick with traditional baseball play-by-play. I'm all for thinking outside of the box. I'm all for new ideas. I'm all for being innovative. But when it comes to people's decisions to listen to a broadcast of a local sporting event, be it baseball, be it football, be it basketball, if you've made the conscious decision to listen on the radio rather than watch on your 65-inch high-def TV, you did it because you're a traditionalist and you enjoy listening to the game on the radio. I consider myself a traditionalist. I love listening to these games on the radio and sort of using your brain and using your imagination. And the best ones in the business that do it and do it well paint the picture. You don't need your eyes to fully understand what's going on. And that's how I'm entertained, listening to a radio broadcast of a baseball game or a basketball game. I think Sean Grandy is as good as it gets on the radio. I feel like Joe Castiglione is as good as it gets on the radio. We're blessed here. We are lucky here. Scott Zolak, as good as they get on the radio, doing these things. You can be entertaining. You can be funny. You can have fun. But you don't want to introduce the goofiness of a morning show or sort of the heated debate of a OMF-type show into the Red Sox radio booth. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense. So I put it out to you guys. Because ultimately, you guys are all that matters. You know, without you guys, there are no advertisers. Without advertisers, there are no dollars. Without the dollars, the radio station shuts down. Literally. Okay? That's how it works. So we've got to put on an entertaining product that you deem worth listening to. And that's how the advertising dollars come in, and that's how we keep the lights on. So you guys, what do you guys want? Ultimately, that's all that matters. Do you want to tune in and listen to a traditional radio broadcast as we have our entire lives? Or are you looking for something a little bit different? Are you looking for something a little bit goofy, a little bit more entertaining, something more along the lines of Mutt and Maloney or Mutt and Callahan, you know, OMF, whatever, Kirk and Callahan, you name the show. Are you looking for more of a talk show format with the baseball game sort of in the background? Talking about all that and more with you guys tonight here on Late Night at 617-779-7937. It is Sports Radio at WEI. It's Late Night here. Patrick Gilroy with you guys as we make our way together up until 2 o'clock in the morning. Number to join me here, 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And to the texter in the 401, says, what brand of lollipops are yours? I want to support the cause. No joke. Very curious. Have three kids. Would love to support the brand. Thank you. The brand is Original Gourmet Lollipops. Nobody really knows us by the brand, but we're in 53 countries, and we sell 100 million units in the U.S. alone each and every year. You can find us at the checkout of CVS, Rite Aid, Walmart, you name the store, Family Dollar, Dollar General, and they're there. They're the big ones with the big, round, almost golf ball-shaped top. So here's what we're going to do. Because you found me on the text line and you complimented me, just find me on Twitter. It's at Gilroy on Hoops. Drop me a message and I'll hook you up with some lollipops. How's that? I'm not going to hook up everybody, but if you say nice things about me, there may be lollipops for you in the not-so-distant future. I will be Candyman slash Santa Claus. It is Sports Radio. WEI, room for you at 617-779-7937. Let's get back out to these phones. Let's go to Mark. Mark's in Brookline. Mark, you're next up here on WEI.
Hey, Patrick. How you doing?
Good, Mark. What's on your mind, man?
First of all, great show. I've really enjoyed your show recently, and I've learned a lot about basketball, which I'm not an expert in, so I really appreciate your insight there.
Thanks so much, Mark. I really appreciate it.
Yep, your producer does a good job, too. So, so on the two topics at hand, so Patriots-wise, what an interesting team we have going on here. I think you're probably right that if things go down the route of the Chargers, that's probably favorable to the Chiefs. However, I'm of the mindset from last week's game in particular, or really all season, I'm in a one game at a time type mode right now. I think they showed insufficient determination in that the defense showed insufficient determination in the Miami game to such a degree that I'm waiting to see them go on the road and see the offense and defense collectively show the determination to be a Super Bowl contender. So until I see that, I'm not actually getting too much ahead of myself. What do you think about that?
Well, here's the thing. Like, this team is so completely different at home versus the road. And, you know, that's not such a huge surprise, because that's how most of the NFL is. But the Patriots are usually better than that, right? They're usually dominant at home and very good on the road. This year, they've been below average on the road. And you're right. I can't think of a road game this year, and I'll go through them in the next break, but I can't think of one road game where both units came to play. I can think of plenty where you had good offense, plenty where you had decent defense, but not one where they both sort of culminated in one game and we saw the best of both in one game on the road. You're right about that.
Yeah, 100%. And I liked your analogy about going down to Pittsburgh. You better put on the big boy pants. And that would be, you know, that would be what did not happen in the final, you know, 7 seconds of last week's game, at least on the defense. I'd actually say the offense, they brought some pretty large pants down there, but definitely not the defense. That's pretty clear. So that's got to change, like you said, right?
It has to, and that's the thing, Mark. And listen, I appreciate the phone call. That's the thing that really kills me. And when we did our program here, I think it was Monday night, we were talking quite a bit about that Dolphins game and the finish. And that was after, what, 30 hours of over-analysis. Whose fault is it? You know, why did Bill Belichick have Gronk on the field when really it never should have come down to Gronk trying to make that open field tackle? It never should have come down to that at all. Matter of fact, it shouldn't have come down to that final play. It did, but it shouldn't have. The Patriots easily left as few as 4 points on the field. Gostkowski missing the extra point. Gostkowski missing the easy field goal. And then you think about Tom Brady having the brain cramp at the end of the first half, not knowing how many timeouts, not knowing his situation. That's not Tom Brady's usual MO. Usually he's the best when it comes to situational football. But at a minimum, they left a field goal opportunity on the table and maybe an opportunity for a touchdown. So let's just take the small number there and call it missing the opportunity to kick a field goal. Now you've missed out on 7 points in what wound up becoming a one-point loss. It's not okay. But if you do want to break it down and talk about it coming down to that final play, I feel like the Patriots have had such a bad time. It's been such a house of horrors going down to Miami. I feel like they felt like they won. At that point, they had done a really good job of eliminating the possibility of giving Miami enough time to actually get down the field. So I feel like the Patriots thought they won the game, and they mentally checked out. Mentally, they were already celebrating within their own heads. And when Miami didn't give up, Miami actually showed a little bit more mental toughness than the Patriots, which is shocking to me, because the Patriots are supposed to be one of these mentally tough teams, one of the more mentally tough teams in the NFL, because, look, they've been there, done that. They've seen it all. You know, these regular season games aren't supposed to get them too far up or bring them too far down. And that's the benefit of having sort of a veteran team that's had kicks at the can at Super Bowls, led by a legendary head coach and the greatest quarterback of all time. You know, they're not supposed to put themselves in a situation where emotion gets the best of them. But I think that's what happened. I feel like they had assumed the victory and they mentally checked out. And the next thing you know, the Dolphins kicked them in the nuts. And there's no other way to put it. That's, in my opinion, what happened. It wasn't a play that broke down. It wasn't a defensive assignment that broke down. It was these guys weren't checked in at that point defensively. Miami recognized it, and Miami took full advantage of it. But it is Sports Radio. WEI, still room for you guys here tonight at 617-779-7937. Let's stick with the calls. Let's go to Peter. Peter's in Fitchburg. Peter, you're up next here on WEI.
Okay, four very quick things on the Red Sox. First, I'm sad that Neverett is gone. Second, I don't understand the concept of changing the system, because baseball's a slow game anyways, with plenty of time to tell stories in between pitches. Third, the play-by-play is important to me because I work nights and I only have so much time to listen when I have a break. Finally, all that being said, if you're going to try something new like this, the time to do it is the season after World Series, when you're going to have more listenership to play with. So if you're going to try something new, now is the time to do it, when you have a little leeway in terms of the ratings.
It's a good point. And the other thing is you could also use, I mean, baseball has got a pretty long exhibition season, and you could use those games sort of like the Patriots do. You think about the Patriots' local broadcast of their preseason games. They're certainly non-traditional, Peter, and maybe the Red Sox could ease the fans into it by doing it throughout the preseason, the exhibition season down there in Florida, as opposed to doing it during the regular season.
That makes sense, too. Again, I don't like the idea, but if you really want to try something radical, now would be the time to do it after the World Series win.
Absolutely. I appreciate the phone call. Is that all you got?
That's all I got.
All right, appreciate it, Peter. You waited for a while, so I wanted to make sure you had nothing else. It is Sports Radio, WEI. Let's squeeze a couple more in here before the break. Let's go to Daniel. Daniel's in Portland. Daniel, you're next up here on WEI.
How's it going, Patrick?
Good, Daniel. What's going on, man?
So I do board ops and production for the station up here in Portland, and I listen to pretty much every single Red Sox game this season. And I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee. I wasn't exposed to a ton of baseball down there, barring the Nashville Sounds.
I have so many questions for you, by the way. I go to Nashville every 3 weeks. I have come right out and told my wife, who I love dearly, that if I ever have a second act in life, it's going to be in Nashville. I love that place. It is my favorite place on the planet. What made you leave Nashville and come here?
Well, listen, I'm actually moving back in 2 weeks. I had a great 5 years up here.
That's awesome. Are you going back to stay in radio?
Yes, I am. I'm going to be working at 102.5 The Game.
Congratulations.
Predators. So, yeah, I'm excited about that. Anyways, Tim Neverett was nothing but an amazing play-by-play guy. He gave great commentary. He was consummate professional. I read a little bit of his exit interview that he did, and it's a shame that it ended on such bad terms because he was very talented, very professional. Him and Joe Castiglione made listening to a baseball game, even without a TV when the TV in the studio wasn't working. They painted a great picture, made it really fun. Do I have any doubts that they can find someone who can do that adequately? No. Apparently there was some issue with WEEI management. I don't know enough about the politics at that station to deal with that, but Tim Neverett, I think they should have done a lot more to try to hold on to him because he's a great talent in the baseball world. And moving on to the Patriots, as a Titans fan, objective view, I think this Thursday night game put you in a much better position. I agree with your analysis. However, watching Philip Rivers go into Arrowhead and pull off that victory, being down 2 touchdowns in the fourth quarter,
yep,
was a sight to behold. And people always love to bash the quality of Thursday night football matchups, given the short week and the short break. That we've had a few Thursday night games this season that blew me away, and this is probably the one that tops the charts for me. That was just an unbelievable performance. And I really hope Philip Rivers gets to make a deep postseason run if my Titans can't, which they probably won't.
Listen, are you? What's the goal? Is the goal to be on the air, or are you interested in staying on the other side of the board?
Obviously, on the air is the goal.
But all right, man.
Enjoy the production side as well.
Oh, listen, good luck, and if I can ever do anything for you, find my email address, find me on Twitter, reach out, and I'm in Nashville all the time, so maybe we'll get a beer at some point and talk about it.
That sounds like a plan.
All right, Daniel, thanks for the phone call here, and you're right. I mean, you're a traditionalist. You're a radio guy like myself, and maybe that's why we feel the way we feel, because we're radio guys, but you bring up a good point when you talk about what happened here at EEI. I'm not sure exactly where the disconnect is, but you know, I am an avid listener to all sports radio programming here, not only within the city, but I try to pride myself on tuning into the bigger stations and the bigger markets online at different points throughout the week to sort of hear what they're doing, right? So with all that being said, you can be a fan of a traditional radio broadcast of a sporting event. I think that's very, very different from being a fan of, say, the old Kirk and Callahan show. Two drastically different things can appeal to the same audience. You know, just because I enjoyed the Kirk and Callahan show at its best, I did. I loved it. I loved what chemistry they had. I loved the edge that Kirk brought to the program. I loved it. I found it wildly entertaining, and it was a fun way to wake up in the morning. That doesn't mean that I don't want a traditional radio broadcast of the Red Sox games or Celtics games or Patriots games or whatever, right? They're not mutually exclusive. So just because KNC worked and dominated and worked well doesn't mean you've got to take that format and then insert it somewhere where it doesn't belong. But, you know, one of the reasons why Kirk is sort of no longer here doing Kirk and Callahan is because he was a little bit too opinionated when it came to the Red Sox. Yet Tim wasn't brought back for next year because he wasn't being opinionated enough. I think that there is some sense of us not knowing completely what we want here. And maybe the idea is when we hear what we want, when it hits you in the face, we'll know it. I mean, I'm not sure if that's the case here or not, but I do feel like there's a bit of a disconnect, because if Kirk was too critical and Tim wasn't critical enough, where is the happy medium? You know, what exactly are we looking for? But it is Sports Radio, WEI, 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. If you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to all your phone calls as we continue to talk about the Patriots, this game coming up this weekend. It's just a huge, huge game, huge playoff implications for the Patriots, as well as the Steelers. The Steelers, the more desperate team, I think, losers of three games in a row with Tomlin on the hot seat. Where's your level of faith at in this Patriots team and their ability to go into a desperate team and come away with a much-needed victory, talking about that, as well as how disappointed we are that Band-Aid sort of got ripped off, in my opinion. Everybody was getting over the conclusion of that Dolphins game, and then tonight happened. And the realization, it's first and it's paramount in your brain right now if you're a Patriots fan. Right now, the Patriots were that one fluke play away from, despite all the BS throughout the offseason, despite everything that happened last year with Jimmy Garoppolo, and then everything that happened with Tom Brady's trainer, then all the noise after the Super Bowl about Gronk and maybe retiring, and all the stuff about the OTAs and Tom Brady not showing up, all of that BS, and the Patriots were one fluke play away from literally being in control of their own destiny right now. And because that fluke play happened, they're still chasing this number one seed. Think about that for a minute. That number one seed should be theirs right now. But because this team wasn't focused and wasn't mentally tough enough to wait another 16 seconds to celebrate their victory, they're still chasing that number one seed, with the likelihood being that they're not going to get it. They're going to run out of time before they have an opportunity to grab it and grab it by the balls. It is Sports Radio, WEI. When we come back, we'll continue with your phone calls at 617-779-7937.